Genesis chapter 17. Give you a second to get there. I was sharing with the Marians there, old brother Kenny, those of us that went to the youth rally. And old Kenny Baldwin, he's funny, he was telling about in the old days when he had the old North Star system on in the car. Some of the cars had North Star and it would talk to you about directions where to go. He said when it was telling me where I should go, when I was going the right way, he said it was a man's voice. He said, but as soon as you turned in and went the wrong way, it was a woman's voice telling you that you went the wrong way. Men, can you relate? Everybody got to laugh. Not Sherry was cracking up. I looked over there at her. I said, there you go. You know. Oh, man. Anyway, that was good meeting. Genesis 17, verse 1. The Bible says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, and he went on down there below that and told what he talk to him about. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Again, our fellowship, these young people that come forward to sing and want to sing for you, and we're thankful for that. I pray now we'll be just aware of your presence here tonight. Help us to worship you, Lord, even through the preaching of your word, the hearing of your word. Have our hearts open, our minds open to you, Lord. Help us to be obedient to your words as you speak to us. Help us to recognize who you are, what you are. And I'm thanking in advance for that tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Walk Before Me. Walk Before Me. Use the key verse is right there in verse 1. And where God spoke to Abram and he said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That really stuck in my mind. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You know, old Abraham, the story of Abraham, the total story, is a great Old Testament picture of saving faith. Think about this. Abraham was living in a pagan land. Didn't have a Bible. There wasn't any word of God, so to speak, yet. And God called to him. God called to him. And I always wondered about this. I mean, they were living in a pagan land. Most of the people were idol worshipers. I don't know. He probably was an idol worshiper. His family was. Everybody, you know, it was just a natural thing. Now, how did Abraham know that this is the one true God? Or maybe he just thought this was one God of many, but yet he listened to this call of God. He listened to that. And then I guess as he learned about God, I'm just assuming now, no, don't be dogmatic about this. I'm just assuming that he learned that he was the one true God, the only God. Maybe he learned that along the way. I don't know. I just wondered about it. How did he know to follow that voice? I mean, inspiration of God, that God spoke to his heart somehow in overwhelming sense. I don't know. But he called him, and he called him. He said, I want you to get out of that country. I want you to get out of that country. A lot of reasons why. Get away from the family, the things you're comfortable with, the pagan part of it. He said, I'm going to take you to another place. Didn't tell him where he was going. I don't want to assume to know why, all the reasons why God. It was certainly an act of faith. Listen, it takes no faith to stay exactly where you are. I can tell you that right now. It don't take any faith there. But he said, I want you to get to a place I'm going to show you. And Abraham obeyed that. God didn't tell him ahead of time where you're going to go. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, and that would have been sight. Well, it's the same way that the call works today. We're definitely living in a pagan land. The world that we're living in is a pagan land. And think about this. Most of us, before we got saved, we weren't reading the Bible. I mean, like I said this morning, we can't hardly get the people that are claiming to be saved to read their Bible. They're not reading the Bible. But how many of us, before we got saved, were sit down and say, well, I'm going to take the Bible and find out how to get saved, and I'm going to read in the Bible every day? It happens sometimes. Somebody's looking in the Word of God. But most of us weren't looking in the Word of God. Somebody, you know, we just got a call somehow. I mean, somebody called out to us. I think about that. You know, God called out to us, but I mean, somehow God got to us, and we were just lost. So that it works the same way. And God calls us, and some respond to that call. some people respond to that call that God, you know, to come to him, and of course coming to him, we're leaving something behind, an act of faith. And it's a product, you know, faith and obedience go hand in hand. And in Abraham's life and everybody else, this is how it works with true saving faith. We respond to the call of God somehow, however he speaks to your heart through the word, whatever, however it works, and we just turn to God. We don't know what the walk of faith is going to look like in our life. How did we know that? We didn't know either. We didn't really know where we were going in a sense. I mean, you know, we may know, oh, well, I'm going to have a home in heaven, but we don't know what the walk looks like from that call to the day we get there, and we're still on that walk. I still don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I didn't know what was going to happen. How in the world could I see all of this down the road, what it was going to look like? All I know was I was lost and I need to get saved. And man, you know, the very first steps of obedience, where I think I shared this last week. I mean, right up, my pastor hadn't got off the porch, brother. I was going down the porch behind him, say, hey, I want to join the church. Hey, I want to join and sing in the choir. And, you know, and I want to get baptized. There are three things. He didn't know what to do, man. I mean, I bet he was so tickled. I was thinking about it from a pastor's point of view. He probably went home, couldn't sleep all night long. Here you got a guy saved and he already wants to get baptized, join church, join the choir. Hallelujah, man. And he was going to tithe too. How about that? That was just icing on the cake, right? So he didn't know. And that's all I knew. I just didn't know that. I knew a little bit about the Bible. I wasn't totally ignorant about the Bible, but I couldn't tell you, you know, much, but I knew some things. And man, how did you know? And you go in there and you just don't know what it's going to be like. You started learning. I didn't see myself sitting in a revival meeting all week long, every night, right on Friday night, you know, at a revival, having a good time, having a dinner, you know. I didn't see myself doing that. I didn't see myself going out witnessing. Oh, my gosh. They went out on Thursday night visitation. Well, I thought, well, I ought to go. Right, everybody, you know, pastor said, hey, we ought to go out, though. Okay, well, you know, was I comfortable doing that? No, I was a chicken. Chicken. My plan was to sit back and let everybody else do the talking. That lasted for 3 minutes because everybody else's plan that I went with was the same as mine. Everybody was going to sit back and let somebody else do it. So we're all sitting there. I felt like, well, somebody ought to say something. The rest is history, right? So, but I'm saying, you know, you don't know what, you don't see that. You don't know what that is. And God didn't tell me ahead of time. What if God told you ahead of time? Huh? You're going to be in church on Sunday night. You're going to be in church on Wednesday night. And you're going to be going out to people's house, knocking on the door and telling them about Jesus. Huh? Nobody gets saved, right? We didn't know that. And but here it is. And Abraham didn't know. He didn't know anything. But that's saving faith. Now think about it. When God called Abraham before this, it was before this call here. He didn't get called here. When God called Abraham, he was 75 years old. 75. Now he's 99. Now my math's not real good, but I think that's 24 years. He's 99 years old now. And God talks to him again right there. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That's what he told him right there. 99 years old. You imagine that? I mean, you think, man, most of us, we're done, man. We're hanging up the cleats. We done hung the cleats up. Most of us hung the cleats up before the first call at 75, right? The first call. So I got the three things I want to use for the outline points tonight. I like it. The preachers the other night, they all said, well, I ain't going to keep you very long. Cody Zorn preached for 20 minutes, and then he said, he can't tell time either. He said, I preached to you for the first 10 minutes. I'm going to preach 10 minutes more. And then a half an hour later, he got done. But, you know. Could have caught using life. I don't think it's going to be too long, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But I'm using the three points there. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I am Almighty God, those three things. So number one, walk before me. Abraham, listen, had already been walking with God. He had followed God 24 years. He'd already been walking with God 24 years. When God said, walk before me, he said, I'm Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He's already been doing that. And, you know, it's the school of faith. Those years walking. We all, when we got saved and we started walking with God or following God, probably most of, that might even be a better term, you know. Maybe we were following God, but God might have been way out ahead. Maybe that's the deal. And after you learn some things about it, you know, you get a little bit closer now in the New Testament times and the giving of the Holy Spirit. If you got him, you're walking with him because he's in you and he's got to go where you go, right? We know that. But Abraham learned some things. In the school of faith, Abraham learned a lot of things. If you know anything about Abraham's life, and I just thought through my mind about the things. I'll tell you some things that he learned right off the top of my head. He learned not to take matters into his own hands. He learned that several times. Huh? He thought, well, hey, we 99, and Sarah, she was 90, and she's going to have a baby. But they thought, boy, this isn't no way this is going to happen. I mean, but God said, I'm the Almighty God, but he ain't got the handle on that yet. And she said, I'm 99, I'm 90. And she said, look, this ain't going to happen. And Sarah gave her handmaid Hagar and said, well, she was younger, and so you have a child with her. That's how it's going to happen. God said, no, that's not. That ain't what it's supposed to happen. Of course, we know that became a problem, and then it was a picture of law and grace, and they had to send Hagar out and, you know, and all that with her child. And that was a big mess, and that's how it wasn't supposed to go that way. It ended up being heartache. It was a heartache for Abraham to send that child out, Ishmael, out with Hagar. It was his child, right? He had to send him out, but it was a heartache for him. And then there was a time when there was a famine in the land, and he was in the land that God wanted him to be. That tells you a couple things, right? You can be in the place that God has you to be, and it still be a famine in the land. But Abraham, and he said, well, let's go down into Egypt. God doesn't ever call you to go down into Egypt. Egypt always pictures a world. And what happens with a lot of people when there's a bad circumstance in their life? I'll tell you what happens. They go out into the world. They get discouraged. Things aren't going smooth. And they're thinking, well, I'm saved, and I'm trying to serve God, and I'm in church, and things go rough. And they say, well, I'm throwing in the towel. And they go right on down into Egypt, out in the world. Next thing you know, they're at the bar. They're doing all kind of worldly things going on in their life. That happens. And so he went on down into Egypt. And you know what happened? As soon as he got down there, he never built an altar. He never prayed. Nothing's recorded about it. And he got down there, and then he was afraid that Pharaoh might kill him because his wife was nice looking. They might kill him for her. He got down there, and then they said, is that your wife? No, that's my sister. Huh? He lied, man. I mean, he lied about that. And so he found out some things, man. Don't take matters into your own hands. You don't have to do that, no matter the circumstance. And then that's another thing he learned. Just because there's a bad circumstance, don't leave the place of blessing, huh? The place of blessing. Don't leave the place of blessing if it's a bad circumstances. And then he found out another thing: you can't pray and you can't worship outside of God's will. You can't. You can go through the motions. Huh? You may show up at church, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're living in sin, you're not worshiping God. You can show up at church. You can go through the most, stand up and sing and carry the Bible in and all those things. But if you're out of the will of God, you're not worshiping God, you can't do it. And Abraham didn't even try to fake it. He didn't build an altar down in Egypt. There's no recorded prayer. And when he got out of Egypt and got back to the land of blessing, the first thing he did, he built an altar. He went ahead and built an altar, but his heart wasn't in it. His heart wasn't in it. He was smart enough not even to try to fake it along the way. And so he found out some things. And you learn this in the walk, huh? You learn this. And then he found out that compromising with the world has its consequences. Compromising with the world, boy, old Lot, he learned that with Lot. Probably learned that going down into Egypt too, but you know, old Lot got down there and he found out what was going on, saw it in Lot's life. Abraham had probably learned some things by that time, but he certainly saw that with Lot's wife moving down there next to Sodom and Gomorrah. And closer, next thing you know, he's sitting at the gate. He's an elder of the city and all that wickedness that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He found out about that. And so, you know, Abraham had learned a lot in 24 years. Listen, I've been saved 38 years. 38 years. Woo, boy, the lessons. I'm probably a slower learner than Abraham was, you know. That's why I've so far had to go through this. And you learn those things along the way, man. You find out. We found out in one time in our life when I lost my job and my renters bailed out and I didn't have any money in the bank. I found out, guess what? The Almighty God. I found out about the Almighty God. You found out, hey, he took care of it just like he said he would. Wow, imagine that. The Word of God is true. I found out that God did what he said he would do, that he said we wouldn't be begging bread if we put him first, and we did, and we found, and you know what? It's just so exciting to find out the word of God is true, because I said I believed it all along, but I didn't know I believed it till I went through an experience and I had to believe it. And then I said, hey, it's true, and I got all excited about it. We ought to already be excited about it. I don't have to go through a circumstances, be cured of a disease to find out God's good. You ought to already know that. We already know it no matter what happens in life. God is good no matter what, no matter what happens. And you know, we learn that in whatever years. This is our walk of faith. We are walking before God, walking, and we learn those things. And the New Testament has a lot to say about what our walks should be like. Actually, we get to the church, and boy, what an advantage we got over what Abraham knew. We've got the Word of God. We've got it written down. We've got the Holy Spirit of God living in us, that God is dwelling in us. We don't have to walk. God doesn't walk before us. He's walking in us. I mean, he's living in us. It's a different thing when we got to the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Hey, just because God's in you, he still doesn't always tell you what's going on. It's, you know, we still don't walk by sight. Sometimes you do, but sometimes he shows you some things. Most of the time we're walking by faith. We don't know. We still don't know that. In Galatians 5:16, he said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Boy, you ought to be learning that on your walk of faith. You know, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the converse is true. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's just as well. 1 John 1:6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Well, if we say that we have fellowship with him, we're walking in darkness, walking in sin, walking contrary to the word of God. We're lying. We're not doing the truth. That's a lie. Ephesians 5:2, he said, "Walk in love." Walk in love. You can't help it. If you're filled with God, you can't help it. You're full of love. It's overflowing. You're just walking in love. And then he said, "Walk circumspectly." That means kind of like with a clear vision of everything that's going on around you. Walk circumspectly in Ephesians 5:15. And then 3 John 1:4 tells us to walk in truth. Man, walk in truth. There's a lot of other verses that go with walk. What a great study that word is there, walking. How you walk it. I said this morning, listen, walking is moving forward. Walking, you're getting somewhere. You got it? Huh? You're getting somewhere. Maybe a slow walk. You might step back a time or two. You might walk forward, but it's a progress, and that's growth in the Christian life. It's growth in the Christian life. And so a lot of others, you know, walk before me. So Abraham had been walking by faith, and now it was about to turn into sight in the birth of Isaac. And that walk, and back on that walk again before I forget, it means, you know, it's your life. Your walk is your life. It's going through life. And you know how life a lot of times, I don't know. You know, sometimes I think looking back over, if we don't have a plan, an agenda, or whatever, we don't get it. You know, we just let life happen to us. We just, it's however the wind blows, that's what happens. You just kind of fall into jobs, didn't have a plan, just something came up, and you fall into this and fall into that. We just let life happen instead of make it happen. But he's talking about, boy, when you're walking, you know, when somebody, you see somebody walking and you know they know where they're going, huh? They got that look, buddy. When they're going from A to B, you know, they're just not milling around. You know, they're on the move, and I mean, they got a place to go. Well, there it is right there. Walk before me. How? From going from A to B. You know where you're going. You got something to do. So, number one, he said, walk before me Genesis 17:1. The second thing, he said, be thou perfect. Be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, God had used the word before with other men. Now, perfect there doesn't mean our definition of perfect, and I'll get to that in a minute. It doesn't mean, sinless perfection. It's not talking about that. It's more of a word used for complete, you know, walk complete. It has some other meanings. I'll get to them here in just a second. But in Genesis 6:9, he said this about Noah. He said, "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." Notice how walking with God and being perfect or complete whole, in other words, goes together. That's what he said. He said Noah was perfect and he walked with God. The Lord had told Satan, remember when he was talking, Satan went up there to talk to God, and God brought up Job. I love that. He says, God says to Satan, hast thou considered, notice this, my servant, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Escheweth means stays away from evil. He said that about him. He said it about David. He said David, he's mentioned David as being perfect. And then old King Asa, he was another one. King Asa was perfect in his generation. But then we think about that. Now we know these guys, right? We know the stories about these men. And none of them was what would fit the bill of what we call perfect in the perfect sense, like the way we use perfect today. None of them fit the bill, right? I mean, there was failures along the way. Noah come out. We're talking about drinking this morning. Noah come out and got drunk. Drank, made some wine, got drunk, right? He wasn't perfect in his generation. We know about David's failure with Bathsheba. Job had some issues that he had to deal with in his life, some pride things, I think, he had to deal with. King Asa, man, he failed in trusting somebody other than God, even though he should have already learned by now. They had their failures. But that Hebrew word for perfect is tamin, T-A-M-I-N. And it means blameless, whole, sound, healthful, or having integrity. Those are what those things mean. Blameless, blameless in the Old Testament times was, that means you did all the Old Testament sacrifices that were required for sin when that came along. Abraham didn't even have the law yet, but that's what it meant. Operated with what you had, you know, and then it would apply in the New Testament as, you know, having everything under the blood in that sense. But healthful, having integrity, you know, God living in us and walking with Him. A simple definition would be this: it's the heart attitude toward God and the things of God. You know, the attitudes, it's all about that, really. It's all about the heart. Because here's this, there's two sides to the coin. You know, you could do a whole lot of right things like the prodigal son's brother, but your heart not be right. Huh? And that's just as much sin as some outward things done wrong by somebody that really had a heart for God, like David. Had a heart for God. See, it's about the heart. God knows what that is. So it has a heart attitude towards God. Let me tell you what, if you, in your walk, in your Christian walk, let me tell you something. If you hadn't learned this, you will learn it. That you can really have a right heart and a right attitude and still do something wrong. Something you shouldn't have done, no good and well, and feel like just kicking yourself. If you could kick your own self in the rear, you'd do it. You know, you can do that. That can happen. So we know the what of the matter, but we need to know the how of the matter. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me, that's what he told me. And the key to it all is the very first part, and that's why I saved it for last. What it said before that, God said this. He said, I am the Almighty God. He said, I'm the Almighty God. Because see, another thing about the walk of faith, in the school of faith that you find out, you can't do it. You cannot. The Christian life is an impossibility to live. Amen. If Christ doesn't live it in you, you'll never do it. Amen. You'll never get it. Oh, once in a while, you'll hit the nail. Huh? Once in a while, some of the time, part of the time, but not all the time. Huh? It's got to be Christ living in you, and you'll find that out. And finding out about the Almighty God. And this is the key to it. Andrew Murray said this. I love this statement. He said, the knowledge of faith, the knowledge and faith of what God is, lies at the root of what we are to be. You get that? The knowledge and faith of what God is. What is He? He's Almighty God. Lies at the root of what we are to be. That's why God said it first. He said, I'm the Almighty God. With God, all things are possible, right? With God, all things are possible. Can we walk with God and be thou perfect? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can be complete, whole in Him if we walk with God. And so we to walk before God and be perfect, as defined by the word that I gave you that definition, is to be entirely surrendered to Him. That's what Abraham basically did. Did he have some stumbles and faults along the way? Yeah, but he always got back on track. Man, these people, boy, that fought, they say, oh, I'm saved, and they get away from God for 20 and 30 years and have nothing to do with God, never read the Word of God, never worship God. These people that fell off, Peter, man, it wasn't even an hour after Peter denied the Lord three times. He went out and wept bitterly, buddy. It wasn't no time. He repented just like that. Huh? He cried out to God just like that. He didn't go years and years and years away from God. That's not, God chasteneth those whom He loved. He'd kill you by then. Huh? He'd kill you. He chastens His children. The Bible tells us that. And so, Abraham, and that hard attitude, that surrendered life, basically that was it. He realized his mistakes when he got back on track. He always came back to God. He came back pretty quick as well. And so in realizing the presence of God, you know, this is it. We've got to realize the presence of God in you. He's not way off in heaven. You don't have to look up there and pray. He's not standing right here beside you real close when you pray. If you're saved, He's in here. He's in us. Boy, what a difference. What a difference that makes. Man, get up in the morning. This is a day that God hath made. Huh? Man, we can fellowship with God. Pray to God, pour out our hearts to God, cry to God, cry with God, huh? Beg God, ask for Him to fill us and strengthen us. Man, what a blessing. You know, and when I tell you this, God, He's the Almighty God. Y'all going to go like this, right? We know that. You've heard that before, right? This is nothing new. But knowing it here and knowing it here is another deal. See, you got to, and how do you know that? You know, experientially, like I said, by the time we was unemployed and all that, I thought, God, He'd take care of any problem. But secretly, we sit back and go, but my problem's bigger than everybody else's. Huh? You know, nobody had a problem like I got. Them people don't know, man. I mean, my problem's just too big. It's just too much, we think. And God will take care of other people. And you might even subconsciously think this. I'm just too bad. God's not going to, huh? And all of us are saying, them other people were better. They deserved it more. Ain't no such thing. There's no such thing. Huh? You know, we wouldn't come out and say it, but we might subconsciously think it, see? And so sometimes, you know, we think about it. And so it's different to know that God is almighty and really know it in your heart and soul that there's nothing too big for God, nothing too great for God. We know that. So we believe it in the broad sense. And we believe it when it applies to everybody else's life and circumstance. But we don't want to believe it when it applies to our circumstance. Or we've been so disobedient and out of God's will and unfaithful that we say, God might chasten me by allowing this to happen or doing that. You know, we might think that's what's going to happen. We're not confident in our walk with God, right? Think about this. Abraham had already been following God for 24 years. You know, well, let's just think practically. I mean, I don't question God. I know what He can do. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with just thinking practically a little bit. I mean, it would have been a pretty good miracle if God had said way back when He first started following me, hey, Abraham, I know you're 75 years old and Sarah's 9 years younger than that, whatever that comes out to in the math. 65, I think. And 66. You know, back then it would have been if God had said, oh, hey, I'm going to give y'all a child. Like, okay, Abraham would have only been 75 and, you know, and we would have thought, well, that would have been an easier deal, right? But no, 24 years of walking with God before God likes to make it really look good, really look big. It's really going to be big, right? So he's already been following for 24 years, and now he's 99 years old, and God's about to tell him, and his 90-year-old wife that you're going to have a baby. Now, Sarah laughed. And so are y'all. Huh? I mean, really? If God's almighty, why are we laughing? Huh? God could have let Abraham go on and be 150 years old and said, Abraham, you're going to be a daddy. And you think, oh, Lord, I don't know what y'all thinking, the parents. It's bad enough having them when you're 20 and 30 years old. Huh? But if the same God is going to give you that child, that God's going to give you that child, he's going to enable you to be the parent of that child. He's going to give you the strength for all that stuff. He's going to give you the strength for taking raising a child up. Yeah, same God, right? But we all sit around here. God wasn't laughing. Huh? I can hear him now. Hey, man, hit what? God said, hey, I ain't chewing my cabbage twice. I done told you. You're going to have it. You're going to have it. Man, alive. Listen, I didn't want to change diapers when I was 30-some years old, man, much less now or 99 years old, huh? It seems hard to believe. It seems hard to deal with, but not when we realize that he's God Almighty. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. And boy, so we think about it in our life, our circumstance, no matter what it is, it's not too big for God. You might even be going through the circumstance so that God can say, hey, I'm God Almighty. Walk with me. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. And we can't, listen, here's how it is. We cannot anymore walk before God and be perfect apart from Almighty God than Abraham and Sarah could have had Isaac apart from God. It's the same thing. They couldn't just naturally, I don't know that a woman naturally got pregnant at 90 years old. I don't know that that's ever happened before. I don't know that one would want to, but I think most of the time women's natural cycle of things is probably done with, right? But we can't walk before God and be perfect without Almighty God. And Sarah and Abraham couldn't have had a child. It was just the same impossibility. The same impossibility. But with God, it is a possibility. Amen. With God, it is a possibility. Now, here's something neat. That word Almighty is Shaddai. El Shaddai, you know, that's a name for God. And El means God. But Shaddai is a Hebrew word. It's from the Hebrew word, root word shad, which means breast. And it's invariably used in Scripture for a woman's breast. So Shaddai means the breasted. El Shaddai means God the breasted. And that sounds kind of strange, but it's not strange. It pictures God as the nourisher. Huh? The nourisher. God's got it all worked out. The mother's milk, animal kingdom, human kingdom, man, the mother's milk. The best thing there was. Huh? Beats formula all to pieces. God's got a better plan. Huh? Nourishes the child. Nourishes the baby. Grows, man, grows. And I don't know, but babies eat like what? How many times a day, Carrie? You're probably the newest mother of the bunch. Every 2 hours, right? They know, man. They know that. Boy, if we can get that, like, tie this into this morning's message, if we can get that kind of thirst among God's people for God, huh? Every 2 hours, man, you can't get away from the Word of God for every 2 hours and we read the Word of God. We can't get along without praying to God and talking to God every 2 hours, huh? We'd be some growing fools, right? Some growing fools. It means the strength giver. Gives you strength. Builds up everything you need in the mother's milk. Everything a baby needs, whatever it is, all in little vitamins and nutrients and minerals and all that. It's in there. It's in there. God worked it out. The satisfier. It means the satisfier who pours himself into believing lives. This is a picture of God. What a picture of God. A baby's not only strengthened and nourished from the mother's breast, but here's another thing happens. What happens if in 2 hours that mama don't feed that baby? Huh? They start whining, and it ain't long, and boy, it's a full bore, wah, crying like that, and the dad's going, Pete's sake, go in there and do something. Huh? It quiets them right down. As soon as mama's, you know, the mother sometimes is feeding, you know, and man, you got to get the blanket if you're in a crowd and cover up or go somewhere and, you know, please. And and what happens? As soon as the baby gets milk, I don't hear no baby. Huh? You know, it's the same way with God. See, it's the same way, boy. He's quiet. We're quieted. He's rested. When he's done, he's satisfied, at least for 2 hours. Satisfied. Man, this is it. This is a picture of God. This is what God does for every single one of us. All pictures El Shaddai, Almighty God. Really, a better translation to Almighty is all sufficient. All sufficient. I shared this story for those old timers. You'll remember this one, but for you new folks, this is for you. That's what Barney told the people in jail. Anyway. A guy that wanted to buy a Rolls Royce went to the Rolls Royce dealership and wanted to know what the horsepower rating was of a Rolls Royce. And they said, we don't know. They don't post the information. He said, well, I want to buy one. I ain't buying one unless I know. He said, sir, we just don't know. He called the headquarters, wrote a letter back in them days, wrote a letter, headquarters. Rolls-Royce headquarters. I want to know, what is the horsepower rating of the Rolls-Royce? And they sent back, I think it was two words. Well, one word, yeah. He said it was adequate, I think. It might have been adequate or sufficient. It's adequate. In other words, it's enough. That's all you need to know. It's enough horsepower. That's all you need to know. And it's the same thing we got. All sufficient. He's enough. Man, God is enough. God Almighty. That's what we need. Almighty God. Another thing that Almighty God does, He makes our life fruitful. He makes our life fruitful for Him. For Him, it produces. A life that produces. I think somewhere, a life that counts. Maybe somebody said that at the youth meeting. I can't remember. A life that counts. That's what happens. So the first occurrence in Scripture where Almighty God is used is told to a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. And then he told him in verse 2, I will multiply thee exceedingly. I mean, I don't even know if they were wondering, are we going to live long enough to see a lot of that? Are we going to live long enough to see? They did. Listen, I am all the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. In God's record of the lives of His servants, there are some of whom it is written, His heart was perfect with the Lord His God. His heart was perfect with the Lord His God. In our key verse, we see with God, also we know that with God all things are possible. Huh? Abraham's first answer to call to follow God, that was his salvation. And you know, a lot of people have done that. We've done that. We've answered the call for salvation. We've gotten saved. Maybe not everybody. I'm assuming everybody's here saved, but I don't know that everybody here's saved. Maybe you haven't answered that call to be saved, but you can, you know, and have you can exercise faith. But for those of us that are saved, can God say about us, as He said to others, that your heart is perfect before Him? Your heart perfect before Him. Huh? Yeah, that's the heart attitude. Not perfection, a perfect life, but your heart attitude towards God. And as He said about Job, has thou considered my servant Job? Can God say that? Has thou considered, fill in your name, if He was talking to Satan. Satan might say, oh yeah, I considered. He might. Has thou considered my servant? And God does consider all of us. Boy, He knows our heart. Walk before me, or I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That's what He told Abraham after 24 years of already following Him in faith. Huh? There's a message there for us as well, right? And no matter how many years we've been following in faith. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank You that You are the Almighty God. Help us never to doubt that. Help us to realize that you're living in us and you're walking with us. Lord, no matter what, if we're saved, you're walking with us. You're in us. Lord, help us to be so surrendered to you, Lord, that you can say that, that we can be perfect in that heart attitude towards you, Lord, and we can be considered by you. We are considered by you, but help us to realize that and not doubt how almighty you are. Lord, have your will and way in our invitation time now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pat. Invitation, hymn number 29, At the Cross.